This is Case Closed, crime stories from the golden age of radio.
Mr. District Attorney, starring David Bryan. Mr. District Attorney, champion of the people, defender of truth, guardian of our fundamental rights to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness.
And it shall be my duty as district attorney not only to prosecute to the limit of the law all persons accused of crimes perpetrated within this county, but to defend with equal vigor the rights and privileges of all its citizens. This is David Bryan. In a moment, we'll bring you another case from the files of Mr. District Attorney. But first, a word from our sponsor.
And now, here is our star, David Bryan, as Paul Garrett, Mr. District Attorney.
The welfare of a city or county is not jeopardized by criminals alone. Nature itself is capable of sudden and unexpected violence that can lead to terror and death. This case started as part of a natural calamity. A gasoline truck skidded on a wet street, hitting a power pole near the city gas works. Sparks exploded the truck and, like a chain reaction, the storage tanks. In a matter of seconds, the entire section was rocked with explosions as flames swept a quarter-mile area of warehouses and tenements. 72 hours later, the combined fire departments of several cities were still struggling to get the flames under control. The death toll and damages were appalling.
Look, just look at that smoke.
Did you get the late edition of the paper?
Yeah, 300 dead so far, more than 100 still missing. Lots of bodies unidentified.
What are the names for that? The list of dead?
Right there on page one. Only about 20 identified so far.
Ralph's name, one of the...
No. He's probably all right. A working square like him would be all right.
But he had a job washing dishes in that diner right by the gas tank. The explosion started.
Stop there. Blubbering. Do you want to draw attention to me?
No, Bert. But he is my brother. I've got to worry about him, too, don't I? He's probably dead.
Yeah, he probably is. Your brother, Ralph, is probably one of the unidentified dead. You'll have to go to the emergency headquarters the police have set up in the high school, Lil. If Ralph is dead, you'll have to identify him. If he is there, in with the ones they don't know, there's nothing you can do to help him. But you can help me, Lil.
What do you mean?
If you find him there, baby, what harm can it do if you identify the body but tell the police it's me? Don't you see, baby? It's a chance for me to get in the clear. They'll stop looking for me if they think I'm dead. Now, look, I'll leave town right now, see? I'll let you know where to meet me. Maybe at that resort place we passed near Lake Bluewater. We'll be free, baby. You and me, free from there on.
But Vance, how? What do we do for money?
There's a safe in Landstone I've been itching to get at for a long time. One last safe job, baby, and enough to see us through. From then on, we'll be riding the gravy train. Nobody ever arrests a dead man. Now, get going.
All right, then.
Good girl. Go on.
You're sure your husband isn't at any of the other places where bodies are being held? City morgue?
No. Only the identified ones are there. Are you a teacher at the school here, or a detective, or what?
Well, no, ma'am. My name is Garrett. I'm the district attorney. Keep your hopes up, but don't hope too much for a while.
I'll be all right, then.
These are pretty bad cases.
I understand.
This one seem familiar in any way?
No.
This one?
No.
I'm sorry. Very sorry. Are you sure?
That ring on his finger.
I know it isn't easy, but try to get a grip.
I'm all right now.
You'd better give me his name for the identification tag.
His name is Vance. My husband, Vance Young.
Vance Young? I'm afraid I'll have to ask you a few more questions, Mrs. Young. Would you mind stepping over here into the alcove? I know this is most unpleasant for you at a time like this, Mrs. Young. It's unpleasant for me, too, but I have to ask you. It may be just a similarity of names, but did your husband have a criminal record?
Yes. Yes, he did.
Did you know he was wanted in several states for burglary, safe cracking?
Does that matter? Now he's dead, isn't he?
Yes. I'm sorry I had to do this, Mrs. Young. You will find several men at desks outside that door at the back of the gym. They'll help you with the funeral arrangements.
All right.
That's Young.
Excuse me, please.
Oh, hello, Chief.
No. Hello, Harrington.
The mayor and the head of the disaster committee want to see you.
Where are they?
Riverside Garage. They're converting it into a temporary emergency hospital. Regular hospital's overflowing. You'll be ready for your hospital yourself soon. You look tired.
I'm all right. I'll be glad when this is over, though. I hope we never see anything like it again.
Yeah. This identification job is the worst of it.
I've helped with five today. You stand there with somebody, watch their lives fall apart because of a freak accident.
That woman I just saw you with, did she find somebody?
Yes, her husband. Harrington, the man she identified was Vance Young.
Vance Young? The safecracker?
Yes.
Was he hiding out in the tenement district?
No, she said he had gone to visit a friend at a diner near the gasworks just about a half hour before the explosion. Well, I guess the explosion closed our files on him for good. Well, when you check back to the office tonight, have Miss Miller put out a bulletin to all law enforcement agencies. Take Vance Young off the wanted list. There's no point in looking for a dead man. Sorry, fellas. That's all the breadcrumbs for today. See you for lunch tomorrow.
I thought I'd find you up here on the roof.
Oh, hello, Miss Miller. I was just feeding the pigeons.
Elevator boy told me. Harrington called from the basement garage. He wanted to speak to you. He's on his way up.
Oh, there he is now. Hello, Harrington.
Hi, Chief.
You busy?
No. What's the matter?
Well, I had to stop in at the county sheriff's office a few minutes ago. While I was there, his deputy called in from Landstone. Something he thought we might look into.
What?
A safe at the Landstone Mercantile Company was burglarized last night. A payroll job. Watchman was knocked out, but he's been treated and he's okay now if you want to go out there and question him.
Oh, well, we'd better go right away.
The elevator.
I'll ring.
What was it, Harrington? A safe cracking?
Yeah. Well, at least there's one safe specialist we can eliminate right from scratch on this one.
Who?
Vance Young.
Oh, yes. I'd almost forgotten about him. Dead men don't rob safes, do they?
Here's the elevator now.
Basement garage, Joe.
Well, this is the layout, Chief, according to the deputy's report. These back rooms are used for storage. He came in through the back, went through that door over there to the general office. That's where the safe is. You want to see it?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
There it is. Out over there beside the filing cabinets in the corner.
Yeah, Lucas Hercules, huh?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, new model, too. Steel and wrought iron plates and more alarm wires and a police switchboard.
Yes, but a good safe cracker could divert the alarm circuit without tripping it. Then the box is a cinch because he's got the wire holes to start working on. Take a look.
All right. Back plate is blown clear off. Doesn't even look like he used a drill.
No, small nitro charges in the wire holes, and it was as good as having the combination. Oh, give me a yell for the watchman, will you?
Yeah, sure.
Hey. Hey, you from the sheriff's office. Yeah, you. Send that watchman in here, will you?
Oh, here's where the circuit was jumped, Harrington. Neat hookup.
Mm-hmm.
Lab crew take a complete set of photos?
They always do. Oh, here comes the watchman.
You fellas want to see me? I'm the watchman.
Yes, what's your name?
Edwin Winkler. Everybody calls me Winky.
I understand you were knocked out. How's your head?
Well, aspirin ain't going to help it any, I tell you. Think you're going to get that fellow that did it?
We'll be able to answer that better when all the fingerprints are checked.
Fingerprints? He didn't leave none, I tell you. He's wearing gloves. I saw him.
Looks like our best bet is going to be an M.O. check, Harrington.
Yeah.
M.O. check? What's that?
Modus operandi. All people have definite work habits, even criminals. They repeat the same procedure on each job they do. It forms a pattern.
Yeah, we've got a pattern here, all right, Chief.
Well, I can think of three men suited by that M.O. Three safecrackers whose work we've seen before.
Yeah. Well, let's see. There's Bert Larkin, but he's still doing time in Folsom for a job he pulled on the coast.
Yes, and the other two are Jack Fontaine and Vance Young.
Yeah, but Young is dead. That just leaves us Fontaine.
You mean you know who did it with nothing to tell you?
An M.O. can be almost as good as fingerprints or a signature.
Well, I'll be dinged. Maybe that fellow will pay for slugging me after all. And for hurting my arm when he grabbed me in the alley out there.
You said he grabbed you?
Why, yeah. He whipped my arm up behind me. Then jabbed a thumb up behind me ear. Hurt like crazy.
I got it. A judo trick, Chief. That still fits Fontaine.
It fits Vance Young, too. When did the burglar slug you, Winky?
After he made me open the back door and let him in.
Sneaked up on you before you could draw your gun, huh?
Sneaked nothing. That's why I didn't suspicion him at first. He come walking up the alley whistling like somebody taking a shortcut through. I didn't see the mask he was wearing till I lit a match. He asked for a light, see? And then he grabbed me. He got me in here and then beat on me and kicked me.
That doesn't sound like Fontaine, Chief.
It wasn't Fontaine. He always wears sneakers, comes up on a watchman from behind without a sound. That trick of asking for a match is Vance Young's. Gets the watchman's hands high and away from his gun.
But, Chief, Vance Young is
dead. Maybe yes, maybe no. But I know one thing. We're going to find out. This is David Bryan. Before we continue with Mr. District Attorney in the case of the living dead man, here is an important message from our sponsor.
And now back to David Bryan, starring as Paul Garrett, Mr. District Attorney.
Explosions and fire in a natural disaster had destroyed a section of the city, killing more than 300 people. One of the dead had been identified by his wife, who admitted him to be a notorious safecracker wanted by the police. But now, suddenly, we were faced with a crime having all the earmarks of being committed by the man we thought to be dead. I went back to the office and started to check through the records.
Here's the information you wanted on Young's wife, Mr. Garrett.
Oh, thanks.
She gave her name as Lillian Young when she arranged burial with the disaster committee.
Did she give an address?
Yes, 1310 Morton Avenue. There's something the police made a notation on, though.
What?
That ring she said she identified the body by?
Yes.
Well, the undertaker turned it into the property claims division, but she's never showed up to claim it.
I don't understand it. I swear to you, Miss Miller, that woman was not putting on an act. She was hurt. Very deeply hurt, and she made that identification. Come in.
All right, Chief.
Well, what'd you find, Harrington?
Well, I checked on the tag number on the body. Young's body, or whoever it was. Fire department code showed that it was found in the vicinity of that diner by the gas wicks, all right. That's where the worst ones came from, the heart of that first explosion.
All right, here's what we do. Mrs. Young didn't claim the ring she used in identification. Get it from the property section. I'll give you an order.
Yeah.
Lots of workers who escaped the blast, truckers and people like that, might have eaten at that diner. See if any one of them can remember seeing that ring before. See if they can tell you who owned it.
Right.
Meanwhile, Miss Miller, I want you to check the Hall of Records. Find out when and where Young and that woman were married. I want her maiden name, where she came from, everything we can get on her.
Yes, sir.
Where will you be, Chief, when I get finished?
I'm going to try the home address Mrs. Young gave. You can follow me out there if you get anything.
This was the room, mister. If there was anything they did, I didn't know about it. My wife and I run a respectable place here, and...
I'm sure you do, Mr. Johnson. I just want to look around.
Yeah, well, as I said, they didn't leave a thing. They only lived here 5-6 weeks, all told.
You get to know the husband very well?
To tell the truth, I hardly ever saw him. Come to think of it, I haven't seen him in more than a week since the big fire. He went out one night while that was going on and never did come back.
But you say his wife left only yesterday.
Yeah, right after the morning mail come. She gave him the keys to the room and packed up and left.
After the mail, hmm? You know if she got a letter from anybody?
Yeah, but I didn't see who from or where from. She waited for the postman most every morning. I got a house to take care of. Maybe Charlie can tell you where she went.
Charlie?
Yeah, a cab driver has the hack stand right up in the corner. She called him when she got packed. Oh, there's Charlie's cab now. You can see through the window. He just pulled up.
Thanks. I'll talk to him.
Yeah, so long.
So long.
Yes, sir. Where to?
What makes you think I want a cab?
The way I seen you coming to me, I can spot a fair mile off. Where to?
Now, that's up to you. Here or the police station?
Oh, cap, eh? What'd I do? Forget to answer the ticket?
I'll ask the questions. You pick up a fare yesterday at 1310, the rooming house up the street?
Yesterday? Now, let me think.
Think faster. The landlord said you did. A woman named Lillian Young.
Okay, so I picked her up. So what?
Where'd you take her?
Bus depot.
You know which bus she took?
Oh, no, I don't. But whatever it was, it left 11:05.
You're sure of that?
I ought to be sure. Almost got a ticket for speeding to get to it. We'd had plenty of time. She didn't make me come dashing back here the first time after we was almost halfway to the depot.
Dashing back where? Back to the rooming house?
Oh, no, back to the laundry up the street there. I guess she had some stuff in there, although she didn't bring a bundle out with her.
Place up the street, huh?
That's right. Hop in, I'll drive you up there.
Oh, thanks, but there's a friend of mine I can ride with. Hello, Harrington.
Come on, hop in. I was just heading for the rooming house when I spotted you talking to the cabbie. What's up?
Young's been missing since the fire. Mrs. Young checked out yesterday after getting the morning mail. Caught an 11:05 bus.
11:05. Yeah, that's a northbound, I think. Upstate in the mountain areas.
Well, we can check it later. You got anything on the ring?
Oh, yeah. A guy who was off duty at the gas works when they blew. He used to eat at that diner. Said the ring belonged to a counterman named Ralph Brenner. He must have been our dead man.
And Mrs. Young must have known him to cry the way she did.
Oh, she knew him all right. Miss Miller checked on her. Her maiden name was Lillian Brenner. The guy in the diner was her brother.
And that's why she was so broken up.
And what's our move? The bus depot?
No, a laundry up the street.
What? Why?
Because that's the last place Lillian Young stopped before she left town.
She was real upset because the things wasn't ready. You know how things was. We're 5 days behind on our regular work because of the fire. funny thing. The only one who complained about the laundry being late was Mrs. Young. Maybe that was only because she had to leave town. She had taken the stuff with her, finished or not. It hadn't been in the tubs.
Well, what did she leave?
Oh, just shirts. Her husband's, I guess. Real good shirts, though. The kind you don't have to starch at all. And fancy colors. Oh, my old man wouldn't be found dead in some of them.
She says she'll be back to pick up the shirts?
No, no. She wanted them sent to her COD. Said she needed the money she had on her for traveling. Shirts like that, you'd think her and her man was rolling in money, but...
We understand, but did she give you a forwarding address?
Yeah, I got it right here in this book. Here we are. See, she wrote it down herself.
Let me see. Gemma Delivery Chief, Lake Bluewater.
It's ready now. They're there on that there shelf up there. I'm going to wrap them and mail them out tonight.
We'll save you the trouble. Just wrap them and we'll deliver them for you. Young's Laundry isn't going to get there until we do.
There's the road sign now, Chief. Blue Water.
25 miles speed limit. Better slow down.
Yeah, not that there's any need to. That's mostly for summer. Season's over now. Regular residents turn in early.
Oh, just the same. It's the law.
Yeah.
Looks like you're right, though. Main Street's practically deserted.
Mm-hmm. Looks like everything's closed up for the night already, except for the movie and the drugstore. Hey, we better find the hotel and turn in.
No, I think we better drive out of town. Find a motel someplace on the highway.
Motels up here aren't much. Mostly cabins with kitchens along the shore of the lake when we get past town. No, here's the end of town now. I can let her out here a little.
I won't mind spending the night beside the lake. Air is crisp and fresh.
By midnight, it'll be crisp and frozen. Here's the lake shore turnoff. I hope we find a place open.
We will. Some of the owners must stay on to do post-season repairs.
You know, Chief, funny thing about Young's wife remembering his shirts even when she was getting ready to run. I guess it's force of habit for a woman, huh?
Strong thing, habit. Young's safe-cracking habits tipped us that he was still alive. Now maybe his wife's habits are going to make him wish he were dead again. I think... Stop the car, Hyman.
Huh? What is it? What's the matter?
I just saw something. Back up. About 50 feet.
What was it?
Just a flash of something through the trees. Back up. Headlights picked it up as we came past.
Little road goes down there, that's all. Wooden sign on that tree. Foster's Cabins. Oh, yeah. See the backs of the cabins down there? It's all dark, though.
I see something else, don't you? Put the bright lights on again.
Yeah. Wash hanging on a line behind one of the cabins.
Look at the two men's shirts on the end of the line.
Looks like a couple of rainbows even in this light. Hey.
That's the kind of color scheme Vance Young goes in for. The shirts we have in the laundry bundle are just like those. Better put out the lights. Don't slam the car door getting out. Let's walk down and have a look at those shirts.
Right. You know the laundry mark on the ones we picked up?
Yes, four numerals. 1310. Same as the address of the rooming house they lived in. Five now. Got your flashlight handy?
Yeah.
All right. Let's have the light. Shield it as much as you can. Marks will be inside the collar. There it is. 1310. Yeah.
Vance? Is that you?
Who are you? What do you want?
Come on, Harrington.
Vance!
Hold on, Mrs. Young. It won't do you any good.
Grab her.
Vance, it's the police!
Where is he?
I don't know. He's gone. He's not here. He went into town.
Down there, Harrington.
Oh, where?
The boat dock by the lake. I saw a shadow moving. Let her go. We'll pick her up later.
There he is, Chief.
Hurry. He's getting oars out of the boathouse.
Stay out of the rowboat, Vance.
He's pushing off.
I'm going to jump, Rudy.
Look out, Harrington. You're.
Oh, brilliant, you copper!
Oh, not as easy, you freak.
Look out, you stuck by the... I can't swim.
He can't swim. He wasn't lying. He can't swim.
You... I got you, Junior. Just relax.
That's
better.
Ladder over here, Harrington. Right. I'll give you a hand.
Grab him. He's starting to come, too.
I got him. Heave.
I told you I couldn't swim.
Well, where you're going, mister, it won't matter.
Man, look at him. That water's freezing cold. Don't just stand here with it.
Well, he's no worse off than I am, lady.
No, he isn't, Harrington. As a matter of fact, he's much better off than you are.
What's that supposed to mean?
You'll see when we get back to our car. At least we have a nice dry shirt waiting for you.
Come on, get moving.
This is David Bryan again. I hope you've enjoyed this case from the file of Mr. District Attorney. I'll be back in just a moment after this message from our sponsor.
Now, here's the star of Mr. District Attorney, David Bryan, with a word about the program you have just heard.
Having been convicted three times previously for felonies, Vance Young, on this fourth conviction for burglary and assault, was sentenced to life imprisonment as an incorrigible criminal. His wife, Lillian Young, having no previous criminal record, was sentenced to 5 years in the woman's penitentiary for aiding a criminal, obstructing justice, and willfully giving false information to law enforcement authorities. Now, this is David Bryan inviting you to join us when we present our next case based on the facts of crime from the file of Mr. District Attorney.
Mr. District Attorney was originated by Phillips H. Lord.
The night, and into his American adventures comes Bulldog Drummond.
Snarling silver cracks of lightning flash across the black sky. Brooding wind whips at the heavy rain. The water churns itself into waves of white-capped anger. The elements rage. As here in the storm-swept sea, man plots his age-old crime against man, murder. Denny and I were out on the West Coast on a weekend holiday of deep-sea fishing.
Well, it looks as though we're going to have some rough going, sir.
Yes. Better head it back for Catalina, Denny.
Even at top speed, Catalina should be a good 3-hour run from here, and this storm is going to cut our rate down considerably.
I know, but I'd rather not trust this boat to ride us out of the twister blowing toward us. Swing her around and throttle as much as she'll take.
Very well, sir.
Better switch on the head beams. It'll be as black as pitch in a few moments.
Right, sir. Captain Drummond.
What is it, Denny?
Look, sir. Up ahead in our headlight beam. There's a man in the water.
Hurry, give it more speed.
This is all she'll safely take, sir. He's gone, sir. I don't see him.
Swing to your right. There he is, about 50 feet ahead.
I see him, sir.
All right. Now try to hold it to this course.
I'm trying, sir, but the waves are forcing us off.
Just a few feet more. Quickly now, cut the motor down. You see him, sir?
Yes, he's off the port side here. Be careful, sir. We're turning into the lee of the waves.
I've got him, Denny. Come here, help me pull him in.
But the wheel, sir.
Never mind the wheel. Come on, hurry.
Yes, sir.
All right, now grab his other arm.
I have it, sir.
Pull him up. There. All right, now let him down easy. Right here on the bench.
He's certainly a lucky fellow, Captain Drummond. We reached him just in time. He couldn't have lasted much longer.
Denny, he isn't as lucky as you think.
What, sir?
He's dead.
Dead? But I don't understand, sir. He was swimming when we first saw him. He was afloat when you grabbed him in the water. He wasn't drowned.
No, he wasn't drowned, Denny. Look here, this bullet hole in his chest. He was murdered.
Almost unbelievable, Captain Drummond.
Well, that corpse below in the cabin is very believable, Denny.
But where could he have come from? We're at least 60 miles from land.
He was evidently on a boat. Probably a large one.
A large one? How do you know that, sir?
These papers.
Where did you get them?
They were in his trouser pocket. His name is Ralph Simpson. These papers are seaman's credentials.
Then he was working aboard the ship?
Yes.
Well, that does clear things up a bit, eh? We should be able to trace the name of...
Thousands of new patent drinkers have...
Sure.
Take a patent, take line, Captain.
We get back to shore.
If.
Right now, I'm more concerned about some unpleasant facts other than Ralph Simpson's murder. Look at our gas gauge. It's dropping much too quickly. This storm is rising in intensity every minute.
Captain Drummond, look, sir, to our starboard, lights.
Across the reach of darkness, I saw them. Dim little yellow lights that flickered and danced. Through the mounting fury of the waves, we pushed slowly in their direction. Gradually, the lights grew larger and larger. Gradually, as we moved closer and closer, the outlines of a good-sized yacht took shape. All right, Denny. We're coming alongside. Drop the speed.
Yes, sir. How's that, sir?
A little more. That's it. I can make out a Jacob's ladder. It's hanging up ahead a bit. Cut your motor. I've got it. Bring the line here.
Coming, sir.
We'll tie up to this ladder.
Here you are, sir. Take an oath, sir, right here and now. Never, never again will I leave terra firma.
Yes, Denny, once you get back to it.
Well, the size of this yacht, I'd say, makes that a certainty, sir.
All right, now. Our boat is tied fast. Up we go. You first.
With pleasure, sir. I leave our floating matchstick with no regrets.
Better spare your comments when we get on deck, Denny. These ladders have no respect for land legs. All right, here, sir. Let me give you a hand.
Thanks, I can make it.
Well, now the storm can rage its worst, sir. We're safe and sound. That's odd.
What, sir?
The chart house over there.
What about it?
No one's in it. It's empty. There's no one at the wheel of the ship.
Well, probably just letting it ride out the storm.
They are, Denny. It certainly is in an unorthodox manner. Come on.
Where are we going, sir?
The cabin's on the rear deck.
After all, we owe someone thanks for this nautical hitchhike.
That's right, so we do, sir.
Wait! Wait! Why did you two come out on deck? Don't you realize? What are you doing here? Where did you come from?
I'm sorry to shock you this way.
Who are you?
Our boat was caught in the storm. We tied up alongside and took the liberty of coming aboard. My name is Drummond, Captain Hugh Drummond.
And I am...
You shouldn't have come on here. You shouldn't have come.
Believe me, we'd prefer not to intrude, but certainly...
Get off this ship.
Oh, now, see here, young lady. There are certain rules of the sea that require you to give us
refuge. Get off, do you hear? Get off.
I'd like to discuss our leaving with the captain. So if you'll be kind enough to show me to him...
Listen, you fools. I'm telling you this for your own good. Get off while there's still a chance. Death. Ship, there's death on it everywhere.
All right. Now go on with your story.
But he'll find me here. He'll kill me just like he'll kill the others. I know it, Captain Drummond. I know it. We can't escape.
Now, don't worry. You're safe here. Denny is guarding the door to this chart house.
Nothing can stop him. He'll kill us all, every one of us. Don't you see we haven't a chance?
Maybe you will have a chance. If you'll just try to get hold of yourself so I can get some sense out of all this.
What? What can I tell you?
First, who are you?
Mrs. Hilton. Claire Hilton.
Well, now that's a start. Now about the killer and his victims.
We were invited aboard this ship for a weekend cruise.
Who do you mean by we?
My husband, Charles Hilton, and his three business partners. Robert Stevens, Sidney Kramer, and George Wilson. They have a brokerage firm on the coast.
And your host, who is he?
We didn't know at the time.
What do you mean by that?
Well, Charles and I had just returned from Chicago. My husband suffered a stroke last January. He lost the use of his legs. I took him to Chicago to see a specialist. His answer was the same as all the others. There was no hope. Charles will be confined to a wheelchair the rest of his life. Well, as I was saying, we had just returned home when we received the invitation to come on this cruise. The invitation was signed Mr. X.
Mr. X?
Yes. We thought it was some sort of a lark.
And Mr. Hilton's partners received the same invitation?
Yes. We all decided to accept. I thought the trip would be good for Charles. We came aboard this morning. Our host didn't make his appearance. We tried to find out from the captain who he was. But he wouldn't tell us. He said we'd find out tonight.
And you did?
Charles did. My husband was alone in his cabin. He came in to talk to him, to tell him that none of us would return from the trip alive.
The captain told him that?
No. Our host, Richard Gaines, He said he'd come back someday. He said he'd come back and get them all.
Look here, I realize you're very upset, but I still don't understand. Just who is this Richard Gaines?
He was a junior member in the brokerage firm. Gaines manipulated a security fraud. My husband and his partners found out about it. Gaines asked them for a chance to cover his swindle. They refused. He was arrested and given 5 years.
And now he's out of prison?
Yes. We'd all forgotten about him, and now he's aboard this boat, and he'll kill us all, just as he told Charles.
Did you tell the ship's captain the facts?
No.
Why not?
We couldn't find him. We looked everywhere. We couldn't find him. We don't know...
Mrs. Hilton.
Yes.
The captain, his name was Ralph Simpson, is that right?
Yes. How do you know?
I found him. He's in the cabin of my boat, dead.
What?
That's right. Simpson was murdered.
Gaines! He wanted him out of the way so he could do to us what he wanted.
So it appears. And now, Mrs. Hilton, I should like to meet your husband and his associates.
Charles is in his cabin. He's locked himself in.
And the others?
In the main cabin. There.
Yes, Denny, what is it?
There's someone down on the deck. I just caught glimpses of him slipping in and out of the shadows. I'm sure he's making his way toward this chart house.
Gaines.
It's he.
What is she talking about, sir? Who is this Gay?
I'll explain later, Denny. You stay here, Mrs. Hilton.
No. Please don't leave me alone. Please don't leave me here.
All right. You walk back behind us. Come on, Denny. Where did you spot him last?
Dash behind that lifeboat just ahead, sir.
Wait.
What is it?
There's a figure coming from behind the lifeboat.
He's coming this way.
It's Gaines, Captain Drummond. He's coming.
Quiet, don't move. We'll wait till he comes abreast, and then...
Sir.
Stand back, don't move. All right, come on.
What, those shots, sir?
Evidently, those shots weren't meant for us, Denny.
How do you know?
Because the bullets found their mark. Right here, Denny, by the rail.
The man.
The man who came from behind the lifeboat.
It's Robert. It's Robert Stevens.
He's dead, sir.
Yes?
Of course he's dead. We'll all be dead. All of us. None of us will get off this ship alive. None of us.
I'll be back in a moment. A mad killer lurked in the shadows aboard a storm-tossed boat. Two victims had already met their death, but there were more on his schedule. I had Denny watch over Mrs. Hilton in the chart house while I went to the main cabin to see what I could do for the others. I told Sidney Kramer and George Wilson what had happened to the ship's captain and their associate, Robert Stevens.
I told him not to go out. I told Stevens not to go.
That's right. He might still be alive if he listened to you, Kramer.
Sure. In union, there's strength. Let's all stick in here and get it together.
Oh, shut up, Wilson. You've had too much.
Kramer's right, Wilson. I suggest you hold up on that stuff a bit.
You do you? Well, who asked you into this? This is our party, and I'm making it a good one for me. Drink, for tomorrow we die. Yeah. Tomorrow, the next hour, the next minute.
You're not helping things, Wilson. You're just making them worse for yourself.
Why don't you be a good guy and do what Captain Drummond says?
Yeah? Why?
Because, you fool, maybe he can get us all off this spot. Maybe he can get Gaines before he gets us.
With what? What is he going to get him with?
There might be ways.
Don't kid yourself, Drummond. Nobody's swimming home from here. Nobody. Not even you. Stevens thought he could duck him. How did Stevens look when you found him, Drummond? Go ahead, tell us about it again. Kramer here might like to hear it again.
Stop it.
Kramer.
Yes, Captain Drummond?
What about Charles Hilton? Has either one of you seen him?
Well, we tried to get in to talk to him. He wouldn't open his cabin door. He said he wouldn't open it for anybody.
No, sir. Charlie Hilton's got it all figured out. He's just going to sit in his cabin nice and tight. He's not going to open his door for anybody. No, sir. Not even for Gaines.
Wouldn't he let his wife in?
No one.
Not even Mrs. Charlie Hilton would he let in. Not even her. Well, that's a sweet husband for you.
Why don't you get out of here, Wilson?
Now, that's a great idea. The idea you ever had, Kramer. So why didn't I think of that?
Wilson.
What do you want?
Where are you going?
To my cabin. I'm going to bed.
Wilson, wait.
Get your hands off me.
Wilson, for heaven's sake, listen to me.
There's a chance I can save you if you'll do as I say.
I'll take my own chances my own way. Now, get your hand off.
Wilson, wait. Kramer, you stay here.
Oh, what are you going to do?
I'm bringing Wilson back.
But what about me? You can't leave me alone here.
I'll be back just as soon.
No, don't you see? If I'm alone, he'll kill me. That's what he's waiting for. That's just what he's waiting for. Wilson.
Come on with me.
I don't see him. Where could he have gone? Wilson!
Wait, hold it.
Oh, aren't you going to look for Wilson?
We don't have to look any further, Kramer.
What are you doing? What did you pick up there?
See for yourself. It rolled up against the rail.
A bottle?
Yes, the bottle Wilson had with him.
But where is he?
Captain Drummond, are you all right?
Yes, Denny, I'm all right.
What happened?
Mrs. Hilton and I heard the scream from the chart house.
It was Wilson.
Gaines?
Yes.
Where is Wilson, sir?
Somewhere in those waves below, Denny. Wilson was pushed over this rail to his death.
Well, the storm seems to be subsiding somewhat, sir.
It may be just a temporary lull, but in case it's a real break, we're going to take advantage of it.
What do you have in mind, sir?
I noticed there were some gasoline tins aft. Get a rope and lower them to our boat. If the storm does let up, I'm taking Mrs. Hilton and Kramer back to Catalina.
Well, what about Charles, Captain Drummond? What about my husband?
Well, naturally, he's coming with us, too.
If you can get him out of that cabin he's locked himself in.
I'll get him out. Denny, you go ahead and take care of those gasoline tins.
Yes, sir. Right away.
All right, Mrs. Hilton. Now, Kramer, you and I will see what we can do about prevailing on your husband.
Charles' cabin is the last one at the end of this corridor.
We'll let Mrs. Hilton do the talking, Kramer. We'll try it that way first.
All right.
Here it is.
Very well. Go ahead, Mrs. Hilton.
Charles! Charles, it's Claire. Let me in. Charles, let me in, please. There's someone here to help us. It's all right, Charles. You can open the door now. Captain Drummond, he won't answer me.
He probably thinks it's a trick. Hilton! Claire's telling the truth. Open the door. We do have someone to help us. We can beat Gaines at his own game now. Unlock the door, Hilton. Let us in.
It's no use. I know how he is. I know how stubborn he can be.
All right. Stand back, Mrs. Hilton. Kramer, you get over here.
What are you going to do?
We're breaking this door in. Get ready, Kramer. Drive into it with all your might.
I'm ready.
All right. Let's go. All right, harder. It's starting to give. Another one should do it. Well.
Charles, are you all... Captain Drummond is not here. Charles isn't here.
Captain Drummond! Captain Drummond!
Back here, Denny, on the aft deck.
Say, I've been looking all over for you, sir.
We were making a search below deck.
Search? For what?
My husband. He wasn't in
what?
The cabin.
What's his name?
Sir? Yes, my Charles.
Oh. Now, I told you, Mrs. Hilton, there's a chance that your husband may be all right.
Of course, Claire. Maybe he decided to hide someplace else. Don't you worry. We'll find him, and you'll see he'll be just fine.
No, it's no use. It happened to Charles just like it did to the others.
But his wheelchair wasn't in the cabin. That means he got out of there. If Gaines had gotten in there, he would have... Well...
It looks as if the storm is letting up, Denny. Did you take care of the gasoline?
No, sir. That's why I was looking for you.
What do you mean?
Well, I got the tins as far as the Jacob's ladder, and then I discovered it. I can't understand how it happened.
Denny, what in the devil are you talking about?
Our boat, sir. It wasn't tied to the bottom of the ladder where we left it. The boat's gone.
Captain Drummond.
Yes, Kramer?
Come here.
What is it?
Look over there. Across the deck, at the rail.
Why, sir, it's an empty wheelchair.
Yes. Empty. Gaines got Hilton. And now... That leaves me. How's Mrs. Hilton, Captain Drummond?
She was quite hysterical. They gave her a sedative.
Captain Drummond.
Yes, Kramer?
You know, I consider myself a very lucky man.
We're all very lucky, those of us who were left.
Well, I owe you a great deal. If you hadn't been aboard, Gaines wouldn't have left in your boat before his work was finished. Now, I'm alive and headed home.
You know, you can really thank Denny for this trip back to shore. He found the emergency flare gun that brought this Coast Guard cutter to our rescue.
Well, maybe, Captain Drummond, I'm being just a little too optimistic, huh?
What do you mean by that?
Well, Gaines is still loose. You know as well as I do that he won't stop until he gets to me. Or at least makes a good stab at it.
I wouldn't worry too much about Gaines if I were you, Kramer. When we boarded this cutter, I had the officer in charge send out an alarm to pick up my boat. I also had a radiogram sent to the California State Police. I don't think you or Mrs. Hilton will have anything more to fear from Gaines.
But what if he escapes the police? Will we get protection?
Oh, yes, yes, I'm taking care of that. I'm seeing to it that both you and Mrs. Hilton will be watched very closely.
It's Claire, Charlie.
I thought you'd never get up here to the lake.
This is the first chance I had. Drummond's been having one of the city cops keeping an eye on me.
What? You have someone on your trail and you come up here? You crazy fool. What's the matter with you? You want to ruin everything?
Oh, don't get excited, Charlie, dear. That cop was only put there for my protection. He thought I went to bed. It was easy to slip out of the house. Ah, there's not a thing to worry about, believe me.
You sure, Claire?
Mm-hmm. Charlie.
What?
Aren't you going to kiss your loving...
Yeah, sure.
Such enthusiasm, really.
Well, how do you expect me to feel? I spent years setting up a foolproof plan. Everything is set to go just right. Perfect. And then that Drummond comes along.
Yeah, it was a bad break.
And all the trouble I go through so we can get what we want. I fake my way into a wheelchair. I kill Gaines when he gets out of prison. I fix it so he looks like the one they'll be after. I hire that boat so I can get rid of my partners the good, safe way.
It was a good plan, Charlie. You'd have that business all to yourself. We'd be on Easy Street the rest of our lives.
It's not too late, Claire. We still can be there.
What do you mean?
They'll still be looking for Gaines, just like I planned. Won't they?
Yes.
They think I'm dead, don't they?
No, very dead, Charlie.
All right, so I can still get what I want. We just have to change it a little bit, that's all.
What are you going to do?
The only one standing between us and the money is Kramer. I'll get Kramer like I did the rest.
Well, what about you? You'll have to stay dead.
That's the idea, Claire. With Kramer out of the way, the business goes to you. Now, that's the way I set the company up. You sell the business out. I meet you in Mexico. How does that sound to you, Glenn?
Well, to tell you the truth, Charlie, it doesn't sound too good.
What do you mean?
It sounds better to me if you were really dead.
Huh?
Really dead, Charlie. Like you're supposed to be. Really dead. Like this gun will make you.
Hey, come on, where...
Don't move, Charlie.
What is this, Claire? What kind of a joke is this?
No joke, Charlie. It's no joke at all. I just don't like the idea of living with a dead man. I like an idea of my own, better. I like the idea of having all that money to myself. You're going to be as dead as Gaines is. I'll take care of Kramer myself. They'd never suspect me. Just as you planned it, Gaines will be the one they'll suspect. Only dead men don't talk, do they, Charlie? They don't talk. How does that idea sound to you?
Drop that gun.
Captain Drummond.
I said drop it. Thank you. All right, Denny, get it?
Yes, sir.
So, Mrs. Hilton, this is your dear departed husband.
A cute couple, eh, Captain Drummond?
Yes, about as cute as a pair of rattlesnakes.
No comment from the Hiltons, sir.
I'm sure the Hiltons said much more than they cared to have anyone hear.
It was very revealing listening, didn't you?
The jury will find it more damaging than revealing, Denny. And Hilton, talking about damaging evidence, I've got something in my pocket I want to show you. These rubber heels. I removed them from the shoes I found in your cabin aboard the death ship. It struck me as rather peculiar that an invalid who had been confined to a wheelchair should have his heels run down in such a marked manner. I decided to let these heels follow in your wife's footsteps. As you see, Mrs. Hilton was most obliging.
And that, sir, I'd say about closes the matter, eh?
Just about, Denny. Oh, no, not quite. There's one more thing I did want to mention. These two were exchanging ideas a moment ago. Well, a court of law will soon present an entirely different idea to the Hiltons. And I was just wondering how that idea is going to sound to them. The shortest distance between two points is a straight line. But when there's a woman in the case, a few curves will get you there quicker. And once there, you might run into murder. I call this story, Death Has a New Look. Be sure to listen, won't you?
Sam, you want to read it over?
I do not. File it under F for forget.
About that poor Celeste, Sam.
Oh, yeah. Well, I made a date with Celeste to take her dancing tomorrow night. She needs cheering up, you know.
Hey, what for?
Well, you said she needed help.
Well, that isn't exactly the kind of help I had in mind.
Oh.
I don't see why it's necessary.
Effie, we must each of us give a particular kind of help each of us is particularly equipped to give.
Very well. You wish to... She's the makeover man just to get the other women jealous.
That she did. Aren't other women silly to allow themselves to get jealous when they know just what she's up to?
Idiotic.
Sure thing. Go home, Effie. I'm a lousy dancer.
Oh, very well. Have fun, Sam. Good night, Sam.
Good night, sweetheart.
The Adventures of Sam Spade, Dashiell Hammett's famous private detective, are produced and directed by William Spear. Sam Spade is played by Howard Duff. Lorene Tuttle is Effie. The Adventures of Sam Spade are written for radio by Bob Tallman and Gil Dowd, with musical direction by Lud Gluskin. This is Dick Joy, reminding you that next Sunday, author Dashiell Hammett and producer William Spear join forces for another adventure with Sam Spade, brought to you by Wild Root Cream Oil. Again and again, the choice of men who put good grooming first. Smart girls use Wild Root Cream Oil, too, for quick, good grooming and to relieve dryness between permanents. Mothers say it's grand for training children's hair. This is CBS.